So welcome, everyone. Today, I am so excited to be here with Jody Cohen, who is a fellow nutritional therapy practitioner and the founder of what has rapidly become my favorite line of essential oils, Vibrant Blue Oils. And she just authored a new book, which I am loving, called Healing with Essential Oils. So thank you so much for joining me here today, Jody.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
I would love to start with the story of how you were first introduced to essential oils and how they impacted you. It's such a powerful story. Can you share that with us?
Absolutely. They came to me kind of in my darkest hour of my darkest day. My husband is bipolar and needed to be hospitalized. And the moment that I knew he was safe and it wasn't my job to keep him safe, I fell apart. My adrenals had been running an 8-year marathon, and they finally figured, oh, we're safe now. We can collapse, which wasn't super convenient because my children were very young at the time, and I had a job, and I had all these responsibilities, and I could barely get out of bed. And I was trying to approach it naturally. I was taking supplements and herbal remedies. It was helping. It wasn't making it worse, but it wasn't really helping enough. And after my second child was born, I had some postpartum depression and was put on a prescription drug that really threw off my chemistry. It was a terrible experience, so I knew that wasn't my solution, but I didn't know what to do. So I had some dear friends who came by. They had a local supplement company and had a big box of essential oils and brought them into me and put them down on the couch next to me since I wasn't really able to move that much and just said, these will help you. And I said, fabulous. You know, what do I do? And they said, no, you're really intuitive and you're really smart. You will figure it out. And they left. And they left the box next to me, and I had this moment where I realized, you know, I know it's my adrenals, and I know how to muscle test my clients for adrenals, so I can just muscle test and see if there's anything in this box that will help me. And I did that and got a very strong yes, and then I started to try to figure out which oils, and instead of just getting one or two, which was kind of what normally happens, I got five. And I was stumped by this and thought, what do I do with this? And then I had this idea that I should combine them. And that kind of made me excited enough to get off the couch. So I took the box in the kitchen and grabbed a shot glass because I had never done this before and kind of muscle tested each oil, each single oil, and combined them and applied them on my adrenals, which are on the low back. They sit above the kidneys, which are the size of a fist. So I just put my fist on my low back and applied them, and it was this miraculous experience. It was almost the only way I can equate it is if you've ever almost drowned, like you get caught in that undertow and it keeps pulling you out, and at a certain point you think, am I going to die here? And then you somehow make it to shore, and you stand on the sand and you run away from the ocean, and you think, like, I'm alive. That was how it felt. It was so overwhelming of like, oh my God, I feel like me again. And I had been so despondent for so many weeks, and I'm a lifelong runner, and I first thought I had was I could go running. And I was so excited, and I went running, and I was able to take a shower and go to the supermarket and return phone calls, and you know what, then it wore off, so I reapplied it, but suddenly I felt like myself again. And so I created some other blends, one for insomnia and one you know, I'm a yogi. I've been doing yoga for like 20 years. And so I had this idea that I could use oils to stimulate the parasympathetic state. I've been trying to, you know, deep breathe and gargle, and it wasn't working. So that worked. And within a couple weeks, I actually felt like myself again. And you know, everyone had been worried about me. And so I had all these people that were calling that wanted to take me out for lunch. So I finally said yes, and went and brought my oils, and it was a group of fellow nutritional therapy practitioners, and they were all intrigued, and so they all tried my oils on themselves, on their clients, and they couldn't believe, you know, these are working really well. So I finally decided to look at what other people were doing and found two things. Not only was no one kind of looking at oils to support the organs, but the way the information was presented was so complicated that honestly, if I had started there, I wouldn't have felt qualified to even get into it. So I realized I was doing something different and it was helping people, and just started putting these out in the world.
I love that story.
What an amazing
experience that you had, and just being able to trust those instincts, but also use your tools and really, you know, take things over the top. And you answered my next question, which was going to be, how did you, you know, transition from just making these oils for yourself to actually, and maybe you can expand a little bit more about this, but then to actually formally, you know, formulating them yourself and selling them. How did you make that transition?
So it was interesting. All of this happened in January, and my friends who were nutritional therapy practitioners said, you should bring this to the NCA conference in March. And at that time, it was $250 to have a booth if you were a member. And in my former life, I actually have an MBA from Columbia. I did marketing. So I'm like, I kind of know how to do a trade show. Like, I can
right.
do this. So I went back to my friends who had gifted me the oils and enlisted their help, and started working with their supplier to create my first formulation, really intentionally creating ones that filled gaps that I was finding in my practice and that my friends were finding. And then I had everyone test them really thoroughly, and we kind of went to the conference as, you know, let's just see if this lands with people. And we were this smash success. Everyone, unbeknownst to me, a lot of people were interested in oils, but similar to my experience, didn't really know how to start and how to integrate them into what they were doing with balancing the body.
That's, yeah, well, obviously there's a huge need for it. And it's interesting because, you know, I'm sure everyone listening to this has probably come across essential oils. They've become so popular lately.
Right.
You know, it seems like everybody and their brother is promoting them and using them
yes.
for everything from, you know, DIY cleaning products to, you know, a little peppermint oil on your temples for a headache, which, you know, is great. But your approach to working with oils is so different from how many other companies are both formulating them and then also how people are using them. And that was one of the things that really drew me to you and the oils, because it aligns so well with the way I think about things. So I'd love you to talk a little bit about how you use them and how it's different from the way so many other companies both promote them and people use them.
Yeah, the story I like to use is that we have this adorable 87-year-old neighbor, Tom, who we love. And for Christmas, his grandkids got him an iPhone. And Tom uses his iPhone to make calls, to receive calls. Every day we walk our dog, and my kids say hi to Tom, and they try to teach him how to use it to get email or to take pictures or to get directions. Tom's not interested. He just wants his phone to be used as a phone, and that's not wrong. You can totally use an iPhone as a phone, but it's just scratching the potential of what you can do. And that's kind of how I see other companies using oils. You can absolutely use oils to make your room smell good, or to use as cleaning products, or to make your, you know, bath smell good, or to calm you and relax you. That's absolutely fine, but it's just scratching the surface of the potential. What I've come to believe, and have found a lot of research to back this up, which I include in the book, is that there is a blueprint for everything in life. That is why stem cells, you know, some become liver cells, some become pancreas cells, some become brain cells, and also why when people use stem cells in their healing, they haven't been programmed yet, and so they just fall in line with the blueprint that was supposed to be there. This is also true of this phenomenon of like phantom limbs, when people lose a limb from an accident or something, but they still feel it. It's because the blueprint's still there. And there's a Carilion photography that kind of captures the whole blueprint. And so you can cut off a part of a leaf, but you still see the whole leaf in the photo. So what oils do, because, you know, they're part of nature and they're part of our systems. Like if you think about it, we have always fed off of plants or the animals that eat those plants. So they're very similar, you know, they're interchangeable. And you can use the blueprint in these plants, in these essences, concentrated essences of plants, to kind of match the blueprint of healthy organ tissue. Not dissimilar to how, you know, you hear about the opera singer that is able to shatter the glass. He's basically matching the vibration of that glass, and when he hits that vibration, it's not the volume, it's matching the frequency, it can shatter. And so you can do that. I didn't realize I was so, you know, it's like when you're so beaten down that you're open to anything. Like, I was just so broken that I had absolutely no resistance to kind of getting this information. And so that's what we're doing, is we're matching the frequency, for lack of a better word, of healthy organ tissue. So putting the adrenals in balance. And, you know, most people vacillate. They, you know, when you take cortisol levels, sometimes it's really high, sometimes it's really low. It's that the rhythm is often off. But it's not necessarily that they're always adrenally fatigued. Like, sometimes their adrenals are putting out too much cortisol. So what it really needs, you can use supplements and adaptogenic herbs, that's fine, but you have to know, some bring them down, some sedate them, some stimulate them. What this is doing is just putting the organ back in balance. It's just kind of correcting what it should be. And so it works for both, you know, hyperadrenic conditions and adrenal fatigue. Does that make sense?
That absolutely makes sense. And I really love this piece that you're supporting the organs and supporting function so the body can heal from the inside out, as opposed to thinking of it from the perspective of, oh, I have a headache, so let me do something to alleviate the pain, right? It's a very different approach. And that's one of the reasons I really love what you're doing, and I love these oils, is because you're really looking at those root causes rather than just chasing symptoms. And, you know, I think one of the things we see a lot in the nutrition world, and just in the natural health world overall, and certainly working with essential oils, is, you know, people using them almost as a sort of green allopathy. So where you pop an Advil, you use the peppermint oil. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I think it's really good to have a toolkit that you can go to help manage some of those things. But the bigger question is, why are you getting the headache in the first place? You know, and how can you support the body to come into balance so that it doesn't have to have a headache? And that's what your oils do, is they help address those root causes so those symptoms then don't need to manifest. And I think that's brilliant.
Thank you. No, it's the difference between treading water and swimming to shore. But the other thing that I think is fascinating about oils, you know, ideally we should be able to heal through our digestive channel, right? We should be able to digest, absorb, and assimilate all the nutrients that we need. But sadly, the world has become, you know, the perfect storm of, you know, glyphosate from the Roundup Ready and EMF in the air and heavy metals and everything. But our digestive system, it's a little bit like, you know, there are four lanes of traffic on the freeway, but three of them are closed. And so that just, it makes it harder to heal only through the digestive channel. And that's why, you know, the body always has back doors. And those back doors are the olfactory system, which is, you know, the olfactory nerve is part of the limbic system. So it goes directly into that primitive brain. And then also transdermal application. You know, essential oils are, the molecules are small and they're fat permeable, so they get into the system. And, you know, medicine uses that too. We have nicotine patches, hormonal patches. Everyone kind of recognizes that the transdermal pathway is an effective channel into the system, especially when digestion is impaired or compromised.
One of the, I love that idea of that back door and just getting to these other applications or getting to these sort of other routes into the body makes it much easier to work with kids.
Yes.
Something, when I was reading your book that I didn't realize and I was so happy to learn, is that diffusing, which is the way most people use them, is actually one of the least effective ways. And I hate diffusing. So on a purely personal note, I was like, this is, you know, but taking a sniff straight out of the bottle. Or, you know, my I love applying things topically, and I love how you provide those resources to let, you know, let us know, you know, this particular oil, you know, just as you described, you know, the oil supporting your adrenals, actually applying them right over where those adrenal glands live in the body. It just makes so much sense.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I was trying to do. I mean, but I also don't want to disempower people's own intuition. Like, those are suggestions, especially for people who, you know, a lot of the people who find me have been sick for a long time and have tried a lot of different things, and they really don't want to do it wrong. And so if someone doesn't want to do it wrong, I'm going to give them an exact roadmap. But if they intuitively feel like, I'd like to put this over my heart, or I feel like I should put this behind my ears or on my wrist, follow that intuition, you know, because we're all different. And sometimes what you think might work for you is a really good choice for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think honoring that intuition is wonderful. Now, I want to come back to the stress piece. And you started off with the story about, you know, in this really incredibly stressful time in your life, and really supporting those adrenals. Let's talk a little bit more about stress and how that can undermine, you know, any healing protocol, no matter how awesome that protocol is. Can you share a little bit about how the essential oils can address this really critical piece of the healing puzzle?
Yeah, and that's something that I was finding in my practice. You know, these people were eating the perfect diet, and they were taking all the right supplements, and they weren't getting worse, but they really weren't getting better. And it turned out that, you know, when the body is in stress, the nervous system has kind of two modes, the parasympathetic rest, digest, heal mode, where all healing occurs and regeneration and detoxification occurs, and then the sympathetic fight or flight mode, which is really that survival mode. You know, the lion is chasing you or the car in the other lane doesn't see you and is about to crash into you. You need to really mobilize your resources. You need to pump out adrenaline so that your cortisol turns into glucose and energy to fuel your muscles. You need to pump blood away from your digestive tract to the organs so that you can flee faster, and more oxygen so that you can respond quicker, and your eyes need to dilate so you can see more clearly. But it also shuts down all non-essential to survival functions like reproduction, rational thinking, digestion, inflammation, all these things that you kind of need to do to heal. And so if you're stuck in that sympathetic state, it's actually called sympathetic dominance, and it's kind of the definition of the type A personality that we really reward in society. You are pretty much back burnering, you know, all of these really essential processes that are necessary for regeneration and repair. You know, it's a little bit like a race car, you know, that keeps speeding around the track and never bothers to make the stops. At a certain point, that delayed maintenance is going to catch up with you. And that's what happens. We often see, you know, with chronic illness or autoimmunity or even cancer, you know, they were so healthy and then suddenly, boom, they've got something. It's that delayed maintenance catching up with you. And as you start to unravel that and help the person return to balance and heal, it's incredibly important that you put them into that parasympathetic rest, digest, regenerate state. Otherwise, a lot of this work is going to be for naught, you know, or like the mothers like me who are buying the incredibly expensive food from Whole Foods and spending hours cooking it from scratch instead of buying it from Costco. and their kids are eating it in the backseat of the car on the way to soccer practice, totally not in that parasympathetic state. It's almost like that work is for naught. So you really want to optimize the effectiveness of all your, you know, hard work, time and energy and money by helping them. And so there's an oil. It's really interesting. The on-off switch between, you have to exit out of one to be in the other. You can't be both sympathetic and parasympathetic at the same time. And what controls that is cranial nerve number 10, the vagal nerve. And it starts at the very base of the skull and wraps around behind the earlobe and then through every organ of digestion, along with the heart and the lungs. And it's critical also in heart rate variability. It sends the neurotransmitter acetylcholine down to the heart to tell the heart rate to slow down. And what happens, it's interesting, this is the reason that like root canals and gum disease and dental amalgams are problematic. Think about where they are. They're right kind of in the mouth, and those lymph nodes on the side of the neck are trying to clean out the toxins or the viruses, and it gets a little stuck there, you know, a little bit like a traffic jam. And then the vagal nerve runs right there, and so it can impede the vagal signaling, and suddenly, you know, the vagus nerve isn't switching you into that parasympathetic state so you can rest, digest, and heal, and isn't telling the heart rate to slow down. So hence root canals correlate with heart attacks because it's impeding the signal. So what you can do, there's a manual override. They have actually an electrical implant like a pacemaker that they were putting in right behind people's earlobes on that bone, which is the mastoid bone, and it was electrically stimulating the nerve. And it was really helpful, actually, as a treatment for epilepsy and depression. Well, guess what? You can take a stimulatory oil, like our clove oil, and combine it with an oil like lime that actually has the smallest molecules and permeates the cells the fastest. So it's a little bit like a good marriage. You get the best of both, right? You get really quick stimulatory effect, and really accessible through the skin. And that does the same thing. It triggers, it basically is the on-off switch. It switches you into that parasympathetic state so that you can rest, digest, absorb, assimilate, heal, de-stress. And it's fabulous for children because all you need to do is put a teeny little bit behind their ear. You know, they're at the dinner table, you're bringing them the food, put it behind one ear, both ears, and suddenly their digestive system is turned on.
It's amazing. I love that oil. My experience with that after I had my second daughter, and there was just a lot going on professionally, and of course, you know, new baby in the house, and you know, not the most relaxing time, let's say. And
no.
I put a little bit for the first time. Tried that oil and put a little bit behind each ear, and I was actually amazed at. You know, actually the first couple of times I had to sit down.
you know,
it was really potent, just this tiny little drop, but clearly my system really needed it. And within a couple of days, you know, I could just feel it just kind of evened things out. And I would use it pretty regularly. And what's really interesting is I didn't, you know, after maybe a month of using it really consistently, I just sort of didn't need it anymore. So
that's,
I know that's
exactly
one of the things
right.
you mentioned. Is in your book is that it's one of the reasons why you sell these in small bottles is because, you know, as you go through different phases of healing, you're not necessarily, it's not like, oh, here's something you're going to use for the rest of your life. You know, it's very much to support the healing. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's a little bit like if you think about teaching, you're trying to get the body back in its correct rhythm and remember what it feels like so it doesn't need you. It's like a flotation
right.
device or, you know, if you've ever taught a kid to ride a bike, it's a weird experience, right? Because they're doing a lot of things at once. They're balancing, they're moving forward, they're pedaling, and what you're doing when you're teaching them is you're holding the bike and moving them forward. You're helping their body feel what it feels like to do it. And then
right.
the way they learn is their body clues in and says, oh, yeah, I got this, and then they don't need you. And so some kids, that's like 5 minutes. Some kids, it's 5 months. You know, it just depends. But it's the same thing. You are, you know, giving the organ or the system support and putting it in balance like a flotation device, helping it to remember what its own balance feels like. And then at a certain point, it doesn't need that flotation device anymore. It graduates.
Amazing. So I want to switch gears here a little bit, and I want to talk about some of the bad advice out there that's been given around oils, because that's one of the downsides of anything like this becoming so popular, is
right.
that people aren't always aware of how to use them or use them safely, because these are very potent things, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it smells lovely, but they're very, you know, having therapeutic oils like this, you know, it's not something you just want to kind of mess around with without knowing what you're doing. So what is some of the most common bad advice you hear out there that people might not realize is actually bad advice?
Well, there are two things. I mean, the first thing that I find distressing is kind of all of the fear-mongering, you know, like, oh, only our oil is safe. If you use this other person's oil, it's not good. And I think that
right.
empowers people. I think people get so overwhelmed with, oh, my goodness, I might do it wrong, that they do nothing. And
mm-hmm.
and so that's the biggest concern. It really saddens me that that's kind of become the norm in essential oil marketing. So first of all, I really don't think there are like any terrible companies. Like, you know, if you go into your local market and you're able to find frankincense for $4, it's probably not the highest quality. It's probably been diluted a little bit. So it's a little bit like shopping for shoes, right? You know that if you're going to pay more and go to certain stores, it's probably going to last a little longer. Sometimes, you know,
right.
like you can get your flip-flops for $2 at Old Navy, and it's fine because it'll last a season. But sometimes you might want it to last longer. So I think don't be overwhelmed and don't be so swayed by the fear marketing. The other thing that concerns me, like internal ingestion, it's not that it's going to kill you or do anything terrible. I just don't think it works. You know, there are a lot of studies that show that internal digestion of oils is the least effective way to absorb them. And also it winds up in the digestive tract, and then it has to pass through the stomach and the small intestine before it reaches the bloodstream, and it can be chemically altered in the liver and the kidneys, and it seems inefficient to me. So I would encourage people, I think, honestly, just smelling the bottle or topically applying it is far more effective. And the thing with diffusing is that people diffuse too much. You know, it's like if you're ever seasoning your food, you know, maybe a half teaspoon of salt is good. A tablespoon is too much. Like, right. There really is something to therapeutic dosage and getting kind of the right amount at the right time. And so less is more often, you know, like homeopathy. You don't need a whole room that's like blasting lavender 24/7.
Right.
That's not necessarily helpful.
I think, a couple of just comments on that. So obviously if people are ingesting it, then they're not taking advantage of these beautiful back doors that you talked about with the olfactory system and, you know, the topical application. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think that that's part of the reason why I don't like diffusing is because I forget. And all of a sudden I go from enjoying, you know, or benefiting from whatever oil that I'm diffusing to feeling sick because, it's 45 minutes later and it should have only been there for 10 minutes or something. And, it's hard to remember.
Like, you're totally right. And therapeutic, you know, like lemon oil is good for if you painted the house and you kind of want to offset, you know, any toxins. Or we have one, histamine balance. It's really good for kind of modulating mold. Like there are cases where it does make perfect sense to diffuse. I just think it's, it's overused and people
Absolutely.
Don't necessarily think to do it in small quantities.
Yeah. A related question to that is, you know, what do you think is the biggest misconception about working with oils?
I think there are a lot of misconceptions. I think the fear-mongering is part of it. And then I think that I think that people get a little trapped in their ways. And so sometimes people say things like, I think that there are a lot of companies that have invested a lot of time, money, and energy in kind of creating their way for working with oils that are quick to dismiss anyone who doesn't do it that way. And, you know, if you are a do-it-yourself person and want to buy, you know, $10,000 in single oils and blend them yourselves, then I admire that. I think that's great. You know, I admire the people that buy the cow and cut it up and take all the meat. I just like to go get a hamburger at a restaurant sometimes. So
right.
What I have tried to do is just kind of pre-make the formulas that we've tested with, you know, some amazing practitioners and share that. But I really don't believe in reinventing the wheel. So if somebody really likes, you know, buying singles and making their own blends, there are so many companies that do that. But I guess in terms of misconceptions, I would really encourage people to trust themselves and trust their own intuition. And if they read, if they get conflicting information in like five different books, like someone recently asked me a question, I heard that putting unsafe oils on your feet doesn't make them any safer. And I'm like, well, don't put unsafe oils anywhere. You know, like that's just a silly thing. But hot oils, like some of the oils like clove and cinnamon, nutmeg can be a little hot. And I know for a fact, if you put them, you know, somewhere sensitive, like your arm, it might turn a little red. If you put them on the bottom of your feet, you don't even notice it. So I guess I would encourage people to kind of vet things through their own system. And also, you know, if you don't know, feel free to ask me. But also, when my kids were born, my friend who had older children said they're hard to kill. And I found that so insulting because I didn't really know what she meant at the time. But it basically means that there's a lot of leeway. Essential oils, if you look at the research, it's very hard for them to do damage. You have to take incredibly high doses internally. So you're pretty safe and it's safe to play and you really can't make that many mistakes and mess up. So don't be so worried and trust yourself.
Good. I like that a lot. Now, I want to talk about the quality piece, and you're right. You know, that is one of the things that drives me crazy about essential oil marketing right now is it's just these, I won't name any names, but sort of companies pitted against each other. And you know, how for somebody who is new to essential oils and wanting to try some, how do they, you know, figure out what oil to buy and, you know, how do they know about these questions about quality? You know, as you mentioned, the price is price just sort of one of the easiest ways to judge it, or are there other ways that people can assess that kind of quality?
Yeah, that's a great question. And what I know you're talking about, so oils, essential oils are highly concentrated. So for example, it takes like 300 rose petals to make one drop of oil. So if you think about that, if they're grown with pesticides, all of a sudden you're concentrating the pesticides. So it's not good. You really want to make sure that they're grown in kind of a clean environment. And then the other factor that influences quality is kind of how they're extracted, so making sure that they don't use chemicals in that process. And then the final thing is dilution. So taking, you know, oil that's 100% pure, and then you would dilute it with another oil like fractionated coconut oil or jojoba or whatnot. So what you're really trying to look for of those factors, the most important is really not being grown with pesticides and also not being diluted with solvents and other things in the process. A lot of companies do dilute, and it's not, it won't kill you. I mean, you don't necessarily need to use it. Since less is more, having it slightly diluted is not a bad thing. So when you're looking at that, I mean, some oils, you know, that are like barks and that grow in the woods, it's unlikely that they're using pesticides anyway because they're grown in the wild. So it's really only, you know, the like the citrus ones I would be careful about, and the flower ones. So in terms of buying it, you know, I actually know people who have gone to their local Whole Foods and just bought that brand and had perfect success with it. I think it's just being kind of mindful. If, you know, frankincense is an expensive oil, blue tansy is an expensive oil, jasmine's expensive. If you see it for very little, just assume that it's not pure. But again, I guess what I'm trying to say is organic is important and all these things are important, but, you know, sometimes it's okay to shop at Target and buy things there. So you don't always need the Ferrari of the oils.
Yeah, such a good point. Such a good point. You mentioned working with oils with children, and I just want to come back to that quickly, and then I have one more question for you. So, you know, we talked a little bit about how, you know, the topical application and smelling oils is great with kids. Are there any guidelines in terms of ages? You know,
yes.
So, okay, generally speaking, wait until they're X years to even use oils, and maybe even at that point there's certain oils they should avoid. Are there any guidelines
yes.
about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Nothing before 6 months. I mean, you can, like, sometimes if they're really colicky, you can put a drop on a cotton ball and put it in their crib for them to smell, but don't put anything on their body because, you know, different, we didn't talk about this, but your body absorbs differently at different times. Like when it's warm, mm-hmm. it absorbs more quickly. The pulse points like behind the ears and the wrists absorb more quickly. Children absorb it much more quickly than you do. And so like one drop to you is like 20 drops to them. So in general, the general thinking is absolutely nothing before 6 months. And then you're just careful up to the age of 18 months. And peppermint actually is not great for kids, nor is eucalyptus. I know a lot of people use those with children, but you just need to be careful. There is some research of, you know, some things that could go wrong using those. So if after 6 months, you know, really gentle, incredibly diluted, like one drop for a tablespoon of an oil to dilute it, and that can be olive oil, it can be coconut oil. You don't need to go crazy and buy fancy, you know, oils to dilute it with. But just go really slowly and only put it on the bottom of their feet, you know, or let them smell it, like with a cotton ball.
Okay, great tips. Thank you for that. So my last question to you is, if someone is brand new to oils, how do you recommend they get started?
That's a great question. We have a lot of resources on our site. It's vibrantblueoils.com, www.vibrantblue, like the color oils. And if you go under the Learn tab to the resources page, you can get links to beginner's guides, guides actually for children, for families. That was a big frustration
right.
of mine. I didn't feel like there was good information out there, you know, how you can use them for health hacks. So just come over to our site, download a guide. You're welcome to buy my new book, Healing with Essential Oils, where I really try to delve into all of these foundational issues. Or you're welcome to email me with questions at Jody@vibrantblueoils.com, Jody with an I.
Thank you so much. I really want to give a big shout out to the book that Jody has just written, Healing with Essential Oils. It is such a great resource. I've seen a lot of different things written on oils, and this one is one of the most well-researched and concise and accessible books that I have found on it, and just really just very, very helpful. It's definitely my number one go-to resource at this point. So I encourage you guys to go grab a copy of that. So, Jody, thank you so much for being here and for all of this great work that you're doing. Where can people get a copy of the book? Is it your website?
It's available on Amazon.com.
Okay, perfect.
So, just search Healing with Essential Oils and Jody Cohen.
Perfect. I'm going to put links to all of this, to Vibrant Blue Oils and to Healing with Essential Oils, the book, under the recording of this. And thank you so much. Are there any, you know, Facebook handles, or where are you active sort of social media-wise that people can find you?
Oh, that's great. Yes, Facebook / Vibrant Blue Oils, Instagram, and Pinterest. And then we also have a Vibrant Blue Oils discussion group, a Facebook discussion group, that you can find a link on the homepage of our website. And please feel free to come on. That's great because it's not just me that answers questions. We have several thousand in our community who chime in and share their knowledge and expertise.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Judy. I have learned a ton today, and I'm so excited to be using your oils more. And thank you for everything that you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me and for everything that you're doing, too.